I'm very happy now to welcome Valentine McKay Riddell. She is the director of the Four Corners Media Project, and Leslie King is a still photographer on that project, which we're about to hear about. Welcome, ladies, to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte. We're glad to be here.
So this is a very interesting project. Why don't you tell us about it? It's based in Shiprock, New Mexico.
It's based in Shiprock. It came about in an odd way. I was telephoned by some folks in Arizona, Native American folks, wanting a donation, and I had just gotten out of a PhD program and had no money and said so. But I said I had a nonprofit and maybe we could help them that way. So little by little, I got connected, you know, to these folks in Shiprock.
What did they want a donation for?
Just whatever. This was CIN, the Council of Indian Nations, that called me. I wound up, though, going through a Zuni friend in Berkeley who had personal friends up there in Shiprock and introduced me to them.
And so what happened?
And so what happened was I called the guy that she introduced me to, James Perry, and said, James, I want to do something to help these kids reconnect with the elders and, you know, reclaim their heritage and maybe also learn a decent profession. So James said, sounds great. Let's make a movie about it. But I've never made a movie. And he said, well, that's all right. We can try it anyway. So we just kind of got rolling in that direction.
And so now you are in an advanced phase of actually making this film.
Phase two.
That's phase three, more advanced than phase one.
Right. Right. Incrementally
trying
advanced.
To make it progressive.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, we are. We're in what you call the productions, not production, actually, the development stage of the film, which means we're trying to gather everybody together, you know, get the film crew and the gear back up to Shiprock, you know, herd the kids.
And it's
get
always
them all.
More involved than you anticipate.
Oh,
and then,
Lord,
then
yes.
On top of that, you have to find the finance for it all.
Yes.
So what's the actual story? In other words, you found these young kids. Are they mostly Navajo kids?
They are all Navajo kids.
Most of them are pure Navajo.
So who are basically using the tools of film which they are being taught through this project to make films about their lives, their languages, their ancestors, their elders.
Right. It started out just doing elders interviews and a lot of what we call B-roll, and Leslie can explain B-roll. The three-legged dog is one of the B-roll shots.
We just started filming interviews with some of their elders, like some of the students' uncles, who mostly told the creation stories of the Navajo so that we could preserve that story and try to understand it better. And then in addition to that, while we were out on the reservation, we would go out and shoot B-roll, which is just the panning footage, you know, the cut in between shots, the montage shots, you know, where it's like, oh, they're talking about Shiprock, here's some film of Shiprock.
Right.
The students had to learn that whole process, had to be taught what that meant, the right ways to use a camera to pan across it, pan, I can't, all I can think of is pan.
No.
There are other words for this, I swear, but for the type of techniques they had to use, but I think the students really gained a lot from it, and in the end, they all found their little niches of the whole process that they really enjoyed. Like, Shadar really liked the editing process, Jeremiah enjoyed using the camera a lot. I think everybody overall had fun with it just because it was the first time they were able to record something and see what they produced. And everybody, I think, was really excited the first time they got to watch their replay.
So what are they learning? Tell us some about the content that they've actually been coming across in the process of making the film.
Well, as Leslie was explaining, the creation stories, which we learned vary, actually, from teller to teller. There apparently is no such thing as one creation story.
Right.
Which is interesting. But we got two or three versions of why Shiprock is called Shiprock and what the two wings of it actually are. They are supposed to be the wings of a monster that the Hero Twins destroyed. The Hero Twins were the children of Changing Woman. You know, so there is just an enormous amount of mythology, what we call mythology, and what Navajo folks call teaching stories, involved in this process in talking to the elders. But what sort of began to intrigue me as we went along and in the months since, because this started in 2008 in the summer, I got to thinking, but what about the kids? You know, they're really living basically with a foot in two worlds. Because here they are, you know, living with very, very traditional Navajo families. Shadar, for example, many of her family are healers, traditional healers. And yet she is interested in archaeology, which is a huge no-no for, you know, traditionally raised Navajo people because of the, the prohibition against having anything to do with death, with the dead, with being in a place where people have died.
Yeah, you shouldn't mess with people's bones once they've been set in that place. You know, like they were there to be to have their souls set onto paradise.
But regardless, Shadara would be a fantastic archaeologist if she, you know, were able to break past that barrier.
It's interesting because we've had numbers of archaeologists on the program talking about getting Native people into archaeology, which hasn't necessarily been the case, and that gives us one clue as to why.
Yeah, it's a huge thing. I'm learning so much about these particular folks. I'm part Apache, but I know nothing about the Navajo except what I'm currently learning. But there's that, and then I got to thinking, so here are these kids. They're growing up traditionally on one hand, and on the other hand, they're fascinated with technology. Cell phones, you know, video games, the computers, the whole thing.
I love Macs. Love them.
They love Macs, and they just slide right into this kind of digital filmmaking process with in one afternoon, Mary Charlotte.
As any, as
everything.
Young, yeah, right, exactly.
One afternoon. It would take me years to do this. But in one afternoon, they were out there shooting film.
And I think that that ability kind of alludes to their whole attitude and general culture of just accepting things as they are and being able to move so easily because of that, you know, kind of in any environment. And being the photographer, you know, it took them some time to get used to having a camera in their face all the time. But after they learned who I was, what I was really there for, you know, by the end of it, they were ready to pose and making goofy faces and stuff like that. And I mean, they were just so able to be accepting of me throughout the entire month. And I was really able to see this one time when they were playing hacky sack in this school. We were waiting to go out and shoot some B-roll. And three or four kids were just playing hacky sack. You know, they'd loved doing it the whole time. And the feeling in the room was just so relaxing and calm. And it wasn't like these kids, these four kids who were playing hacky sack, were like, we're playing hacky sack, nobody else can join. It was like, we're playing hacky sack, if you guys want to come, cool, if not, we're going to be over here. And that whole feeling, I'd never felt that with teenagers before, in the U.S. at least. And it was just incredible to see the way they interact and how mature they are.
I'm glad you're saying that, because something that I've often found annoying is the construction of teenagers as nonverbal, difficult, impossible, rebellious. That's a total cultural construction that's put on them.
It is. They're individuals like everybody else. But it was unusual, I have to say, because I've worked with teens a lot over the years. It was really unusual to be in a room full of, and there were 8 to 10 kids in the room. Very quiet, very respectful, very attentive young people who really paid attention to Hank and Jillian, who were teaching them.
Now, Hank
Rogerson and Jillian Spitzmiller,
whom we've had on this show, who are amazing documentary filmmakers,
they're
working with these young people.
Mm-hmm. They were teaching them the technology, the ins and outs of actually filming. And the kids were just paying total attention.
So just here you have these young people with, as you say, a foot in one world of traditional Navajo culture, and then the other world, sort of crazy U.S. technological. How are they handling that?
This is what the movie is going to be about.
Okay.
This will be the plot of the movie. We would like to have Shadara or Edward narrate, or both of them. They'll probably be interviewing more elders. They will be interviewing more young people. And what we want to do, the way I see it anyway, is flashbacks to the way it used to be, you know, in Navajo land, and then flash forwards to what's going on with these kids right now. For example, they did a whole series on graffiti. There is a great deal of graffiti under the bridge in Shiprock, apparently, and we had lots of footage of graffiti. You know, things like that. So that we see the contrast, so that we can feel the tension between, you know, trying to be respectful to the elders and honor the culture on the one hand, and then being pulled, just fascinated and pulled into this other, much more fast-paced world.
Yeah, to go back to your question too, I think particularly for these students, that learning a new technology especially just open their eyes to a whole different world. you know, because before it was like computers and the internet and social networking, and now it's like, oh, electronic tools, cool.
So it's much more active.
Yeah, I think it's more engaging for them, and like I said, it just opens up a new world, you know, just like the first time you get a cell phone or, you know, your music MP3 player, and just like, wow, now I can walk around and listen to music and can be anywhere and call somebody, and it's like, wow, now I can maybe be a filmmaker and do something that's important to me, you know? So I think for these kids, it's just... it's just eye-opening.
It's owning the media.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Information is power, right? According to, you know, all of the folks who believe that and are providing us with the technology. So
you are in the process of making this film, and you're actually going to have, we're having you on right now because there is a little fundraiser to help support this project coming up this Friday, the 26th of March, from 5 to 8 at the Arte Bella Gallery at 235 Don Gaspar, with all sorts of music and food and raffles and lots of good things. What are you looking for from the public? Financial support, other kinds of support?
Financial support, if people are experienced and have worked with folks like this before, I would love to talk to them. I did at one point have a wonderful conversation with Lucy Moore, who wrote a great book, Into the Canyon.
Yeah.
You know Lucy?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. She talked about that book on the show.
Yeah, well, she very kindly met us for lunch and sort of filled us in on all the reasons why some things are working and some things aren't. And, you know, so whatever. Also, if we do go for an NEH grant, which we hope to do, we will need a good board of, you know, very, what shall I say, formally educated and experienced advisors. You have to have that for an NEH grant, and we would like to do that.
So for all of that, you can actually call Valentine McKay Riddell, who is the executive director of Orenda Healing International, which is sponsoring the Four Corners Media Project. You can call her at area code 510-684-4272, and you can also go to orenda-arts.org, orenda-arts.org. What else would you like to tell us about the project before we go?
The one thing that I think is really important for everybody to know is this. There is an assumption that we Western people know more, you know, do more, are more, have more to offer. And in my experience with the Navajo folks that I've been working with so far, it's not that way at all. The Navajo culture is so enriching and so amazing and so all-inclusive. There isn't any such thing as competition. I mean, people are really trying to help each other. And I think we could learn a lot from them. And so when we started this project, I remember talking to my crew. I had a whole bunch of folks working with me. And just saying, we're here to teach them a few things about film, but we are going to learn so much more from them, and we need to keep that in mind.
I think sometimes when people use the word poverty or poor, they sort of extrapolate that to mean poor in lots of ways, but of course there's a million kinds of wealth besides money.
Absolutely. And this particular culture is very, very rich in those respects.
And this particular project, I think, is just really important because, like you said, Valentine, about the learning aspect of the whole thing, there's a lot to learn from this untapped culture, many untapped cultures that are similar to it, especially in the U.S., I think, because this has been such a historic issue just from the inception of the U.S., and now we have to look at the progress that's been made, I think, and reevaluate how forcefully we need to set in place the next step of progress, you know, to change the way things have been and the way things are so that these people who this land is owed to, you know, can claim it back and be part of a society that they've been excluded from for ages.
Mm-hmm. And maybe even have a little bit of good influence on it.
Yeah.
Well, it needs all the good influence it can get.
That's without saying.
Valentine McKay Riddell is Executive Director of Orenda Healing International and the Four Corners Media Project. Leslie King is still photographer on the project. Once again, orenda-arts.org. And and 510 is the area code, 684-47, 684-4272. And the fundraiser is this coming Friday, March 26th from 5 to 8 at Arte Bella Gallery on Don Gaspar. Thank you both so much for being here.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte.
Thank
we enjoyed
you. It's
it.
A pleasure.
You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're streaming live on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org, thanks to Dotfoil Computer Services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes, and you can find us at facebook.com/radiocafe. Thanks to Marilyn LeBlanc for engineering today. Stay tuned for the BBC, followed by local news by KSFR's award-winning news team. And after that, Good Morning Jazz includes a visit from Stephen Smith, conductor of the Santa Fe Symphony, and Artist of the Month, Horace Silver. Broadcasting from the Santa Fe Baking Company, we'll see you tomorrow. Ciao.